This is Jefferson Public Radio. I'm Eric Thiel. Welcome to another live session. Joining me today, not in the JPR studios, singer-songwriter Maya Sharp. Maya, it is good to hear from you again. We should pull back the curtain just a little bit, because a few months ago, you were out on tour on the West Coast, and I think you were in like Tahoe, Reno area. And after wrapping the tour, you were going to make the drive all the way to Ashland to be our guest here in the studio. And last minute, something kind of came up and you couldn't do it. So we have been continuing our conversation now for a few months, finally able to make this happen because you are where? You're finally home, right?
Yeah, I am home in Los Angeles. I'm a good 14 hours away from you right now. So yeah, we're so savvy. I love this. I think I wrapped up the tour in Northern California. We were going to go to Reno and then up to you, and had a little hitch in the get along and we had to head home early. So thank you so much for making this work anyway.
Well, it works out great for us because there you are in your home studio with your amazing musical partner, Linda Taylor, on guitars.
Yes.
You guys have been making music as a duo for quite a few years now, right?
Yeah, we've actually known each other for about 20, but we started to work together like this, where we would go out on the road together, we would record pretty much everything together about 7 years ago. And we've worked with other artists like this, worked on my stuff like this, and we've been mostly what I do live for that whole time.
She's got a fair bit of TV time as well, as being part of the house band of Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yeah, she's been doing that. That show has become so successful. All right, actually, I shouldn't say that, because it has been so successful from, you know, the start. They just kind of know when to interject the fresh blood. They've managed to cross over the generations, and now it seems like everybody loves them. And Laura Hall and Linda are doing something that I think few people could really do well. They are asked to make up a song right there on the spot while somebody sings along. It's usually Wayne, who's awesome. So yeah, they concentrate that into, they tape for a week or two at a time. They do that a couple times a year. And I'm very happy for her. I love it. But those are the times that I don't get her with me.
Yeah. Well, speaking of making up songs on the spot, I don't know how many of yours come about on the spot, but you have been writing songs for a much longer time than you have been performing songs. True?
Yes, I definitely started out on the writing side of things. And once I had a batch of songs that I felt like, you know what, I really want to get these out. You know, I really want people to hear them, and you know, so they're not just something for me on the hard drive. I realized I might every now and then get somebody else to sing them, but if I really wanted all of these songs that I was proud of to get out there, I was probably going to have to figure out how to perform them. So
was that not your bag?
Well, it wasn't at the time, but I totally love it now. I'm fine that it started with the writer mind and that led to the performer mind. It took me a while. I mean, I had been performing as a saxophone player, but to get in front of the mic like that and to sing every night and to have to deliver your own words and your story every night was definitely a different thing. So it took me a little while to settle into it, but now I love it. And in some ways I've kind of flipped it over. There are times where I could go do a month of writing, or I could go on the road and play, and I usually choose to play now.
The Dash Between the Dates is album number 6, if I'm counting correctly.
I believe so. I've intentionally lost count.
A lot of the songs on this record, almost all of them, are co-writes. Is that a comfortable thing for you to do, is to work with others?
I actually kind of started there. Most of my first writing was with other people. This one, actually, of all the albums, has 2 solo writes, and I think all of my albums in the past have had 1 solo. So in my world, I wrote alone twice as much on this record than I have in the past. But yeah, I feel like I grow so much when I write with other people. You know, you might be tempted to go to the same chords, to the same, you know, kind of story angle. And when you're writing with somebody else, they're just going to bring you another perspective. And, you know, they make you chase that down, and you make them, you know, chase your weird little thing down. And it ends up being something that it wouldn't have been if either of you had written it alone.
Maya Sharp is my guest today live on Jefferson Public Radio. She joins me from her home studio along with guitarist Linda Taylor. The new record is called The Dash Between the Dates. That is out on Entertainment One, and you can get information on Maya and her music, both as a performer and also as a songwriter, and also, we'll talk about this in a bit, as a producer, all of it at mayasharp.com. Well, I'm excited to hear you guys play. What do you want to do first for us today?
We're thinking about something from the new album. How about Poison the Well?
That is Poison the Well. It's Maya Sharp with Linda Taylor live on Jefferson Public Radio. It's music pulled from their new record called The Dash Between the Dates. Information at mayasharp.com. I was reading online, Maya, that prior to this new album, you actually went through a period of songwriter drought. How did that start to go off the rails?
I don't know. I think it's just kind of, it's like a rite of passage. I realized, you know, everybody at some point will probably hit that. And I really hadn't. I had just been energized and excited about the craft of songwriting for years and years, really, regardless of how well things were going or how poorly things were going. I always found a new idea. I always wanted to chase it down, and I never really cared what was on the back end, which is usually how the good things happen. But I just hit this thing a couple years ago. It wasn't, I don't want to call it a slump, because I kept on writing through it. I just didn't care about anything I was writing. I think I call it more of a shrug. I was like, well, if I'm not invested in this, if this isn't something new, if this isn't interesting or personal or universal enough, I think I was just searching for what the next voice needed to be. And I did finally find it. And hopefully it seems that writing through it is how I found it, because I wanted to write in a broader voice where it wasn't just you and me and our little story, but more of a universal life experience. And maybe that's because, you know, I'm not 22 anymore. And maybe it's just
none
because,
of us are.
Well, thank you for saying that. You know, maybe it was just too, because, you know, on the sixth album, I want to bring something else, but I didn't know what that something else was. And I can be hard on myself, and it just was never good enough. It wasn't cool enough. It wasn't new enough. It wasn't fresh enough. And so I did, you know, there's a lot of songs that no one will ever hear from that, you know, year probably of time.
Well, how does that work for you? I mean, you've had so many of your songs done by others, big names, Bonnie Raitt, Dixie Chicks, Keb Moe, Trisha Yearwood. But when you're in one of these periods of writing songs that you don't feel great about, do any of those become hits for other people?
I've been very fortunate that no song that I wasn't already proud of or that I didn't want to share with the world has gotten further than it should. And I've also been very fortunate that the people that have recorded my songs have done a very respectful job, and everybody gave it a bigger life that I think it would have had otherwise. A couple of them too, one of the Bonnie Raitts and a Dixie Chicks song, they did first and kind of tipped me off and kind of showed me how maybe I could do it, you know, for my album. So then I waited a couple of years and then I put it on mine and stole from them both. Mm. It was actually very, very helpful. But, you know, I tend to not really let those songs that I don't feel like have something more to offer, that don't have some kind of ooh factor.
Yeah.
I don't really let them out of the room, you know?
I think what I'm hearing you say is that in your songwriting process, you're always writing songs for Maya Sharp, and the end result is great Maya Sharp songs that other people find interesting, rather than you trying to write songs for other people that would then lose your voice that you put into your music.
I tried to be the staff songwriter who wrote, you know, very specifically for the call sheet, like, okay, you know, Faith Hill is looking for this, and she wants it to be a nod to her last album, but kind of like this other album that's a big hit now. And okay, Bonnie Raitt is looking, you know, for songs. But like, yeah, every single time I tried to write specifically for someone else, it did not work. But I tried it. I mean, I did that for probably 3 or 4 years. Like, okay, this is it. I'm going to listen to all their stuff. I'm going to try to get into their mind. I'm going to try to, you know, figure out what the producer is asking for. But talking about music and the feel of the next album, not everybody's going to articulate that the way that it really shakes out at the end. So even if you nail what they put on the sheet, it might not be what they really wanted by the end of the project. When you're trying to get inside somebody else's head, that's such a bigger challenge than just trying to make a connection with yourself and the song, because that, whatever that human thing is that you manage to tap into for your song, somebody else will probably feel that also. So as soon as I abandoned trying to, you know, very specifically write for someone else, it did start to go better.
Yeah.
It's funny. And the Bonnie song, she recorded two of the three songs of mine that she recorded, I would have never thought she would choose. Like, if somebody told me to write for her, I would have never gone to those places. But it turns out that's what she wanted. That's what she felt. And I think it's because I felt them. It felt real.
maybe it's because they're more authentic when you're writing with yourself in mind.
I guess. And or just with not really anything in mind. Like, I'm not thinking this is for my album, you know?
Yeah.
I'm just thinking I want to write something that I, you know, where the hairs on my arm, you know, are going to stand up. And I go, oh, that's cool, you know, a couple times. If that doesn't happen, other people probably won't feel it either.
Well, there is one song on the new record that I really love. It's very, very pretty. And I was hoping that you guys might be able to do that for me. Underneath?
Absolutely.
It's Maya Sharp live on Jefferson Public Radio with her guitarist, Linda Taylor. The new record is called The Dash Between the Dates. MayaSharp.com for information. Here's Underneath.
No one but myself to blame. If I ain't got a love to call my own, maybe it takes some chipping away before you get down to the cornerstone. How much gold can you find if you never go mining?
That is Maya Sharp and Linda Taylor today live on Jefferson Public Radio performing from their home studio or Maya's home studio in Los Angeles for us today on a JPR live session. We will have audio from our session up on our website later this afternoon at ijpr.org. The record is fantastic. I've been a fan of all of your albums since the first when it came out. Some of your songs that make it beyond your own records have ended up playing some really big rooms around the world. Are you always in the loop when somebody uses one of your songs, or do you find out about some of them after the fact?
Well, it's funny because if I'm not in the loop, I wouldn't know it. maybe something is being performed somewhere and I don't know. But all the ones that you mentioned, I knew about it when it was in the recording process, which can be the good news and the bad news, because if it doesn't make it through all the hurdles, you have that bigger heartbreak of it was so close, you know. But the Dixie Chicks, I found out early on. The Bonnie rate cuts. I found out early on. And then actually Bonnie reached out to me and asked me if I wanted to sing some harmony on those songs and play a saxophone line that I had played on my version. She wanted it to go on her version too.
Cool.
That was amazing. And that started, that was about 10 years ago now, that that started a friendship and this just ongoing thing where I open for her, you know, whenever she asks, of course. she, you know, she sits in with me, I sit in with her, we sing on each other's albums. Just, it's really been a dream. And that kind of validation from somebody that I have admired for so long, it's just really priceless. I can't even say. And it tends to come around like just in time, like, oh my God, this business is just rolling all over me. And then she's like, hey, you want to go open some shows? And all of a sudden I'm a rock star again. Yeah. It feels, everything's okay. You know, she has a lot of power over me like that.
Well, as a performer and a songwriter and more recently also as a producer, how do you juggle all of those things?
Well, they all serve each other for sure. I know that being the artist helps me to produce a singer. I know that knowing what it's like to be the co-writer for somebody else to go out and perform helps me to understand when I go play live and I sell CDs live, I need to make sure that all of my co-writers are paid. You know, there's just, if you see all the angles of it, if you've been everyone at the table at some point, I think it just serves all the other jobs.
You know, I've seen photos over the years that musicians post to Facebook or to blogs or their website of like that stereotypical 17-cent royalty check that they got from one of the streaming. So do you just get a giant pile of those things that you have to deal with from all of the people who've covered your songs and have had their songs played on, you know, all the various online sites?
Well, fortunately, most of those are combined into our performance rights society checks.
Oh, good.
yes. Yeah, I know.
Because some of those things look like they're worth less than the paper they're printed on.
Well, the music reports checks can get pretty, I mean, I'd say funny. It's not quite funny yet. Hopefully it's about to get fixed a little bit. It'll get changed for the better. There's a lot of people are working on changing that through legislation. Right now, I saved it right on my desk behind me. I can see it from here. I have a check from Music Reports for 1 cent.
So really?
Yes. So oh, your stamp costs, what, 49 times the amount of the check? That just really happened, you know? I mean, I thought it was funny when I got, you know, a check for $1 for a ringtone that was used in Ireland or something. Like, okay, a check for $1. And it came from Ireland, so who knows how much the postage was. But now there's a U.S. check for 1 cent. And that was probably a lot of streams.
Yeah.
Because it's like 0.00000, you know, and it all adds up to 1 cent.
And you're going to go out and spend $20 or $30 finding the perfect frame to put that 1 cent check in, aren't
you? Exactly. Exactly. The stamp, the envelope, and the frame all cost more.
Before I let you go, I want to talk about the first single from this new record, Nothing But the Radio. It is an incredible earworm. And I was listening to Linda talk about how the role she played in this tune was to kick it in the pants a little bit, right? And to increase the tempo. It didn't start out as bouncy as the version we know, right?
No. And, you know, first of all, her role in this album is huge. I mean, we definitely co-produce. Like, she's all over it. I'm all over it. We fought through some things. We agreed readily on some other things. And I think every time that happened, it was for the better. This one is so funny. Yeah, it started out as kind of a slow and slinky thing. And because I was in the writing room and I was, you know, a part of that original demo, and then I was playing it live in that vibe, it really solidified with me in that place, in that feel. She had the benefit of not being there at the very beginning. So she hears it and she's like, yeah, no. She kicked it up 17 clicks, which is a freaking lot. I mean, that's like a whole other category.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know what? And I think it can hold some loops, and I think it can hold this and that. And then once she started going, first, of course, I fought her because I was attached to where it started, which nobody cared where it started because nobody had heard it yet. I was wrong. That was the first and last time. No. Once she presented this idea faster, bigger, higher, I was like, oh, well, now it can hold a toy piano. Well, now I'm going to try whirly on it. Well, now, you know what? Let's do horns. And she's like, yeah. And how about a cowbell? How about the castanets? How about, and it just went, tubular bells, I think, are her favorite part of it. So now it's this like 70 track thing blazing along, and it finally found where it was supposed to be the whole time. But it took her fresh ears and being brave about it, and also our relationship, because we've known each other for so long, she can go, yeah, no, you're wrong. Like, you know, we can be honest with each other, and she was right. I was wrong. And it's really fun now. It's so fun.
Yeah, it really has turned out beautiful. I think the last time I heard castanets in a pop song, it was Herb Alpert.
You're probably right.
So I'm curious, what does this thing sound like as a duo?
Well, you're about to find out.
Cool. It's Maya Sharp with guitarist Linda Taylor live on Jefferson Public Radio.
Drinking, 'cause I've been thinking about you and wondering when you'd be home. I've been a little lonely, and I know you're the only one who can make it right tonight. Nothing but the radio on. Let's see where it takes us. Careful or reckless, I like the second one. Or how about you? What's hiding under? I don't ever want to wonder, oh, what we could have done that we could just do. Till there's nothing but the radio on. 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 Through that door and prove that less is more. So much more with nothing but the radio on. Nothing but the radio on. Nothing but the radio on. Oh, but the radio on.
Nothing but the radio. That is the lead-off track from the new record of Maya Sharp called The Dash Between the Dates, played live for us by Maya Sharp with Linda Taylor. MayaSharp.com is the web address for more information. Maya, thanks so much for doing this for us today.
Oh, thank you so much.